Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Redemption did not begin when Jesus appeared on earth. In the mind of God, it began right after mankind's fall in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:15 depicts a promised Redeemer who would one day crush Satan's head. Today, redemption's drama continues. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the drama of redemption. We now resume our look at the Old Testament with an explanation of Genesis 3:15.
What God is saying is that a Redeemer is going to come through the seed of a woman who is going to crush the serpent's head and who is going to be the means of our reconciliation. And now the rest of the Bible storyline is going to be the outworking of how all that is going to happen in history. So what we have now is creation. We have the fall, which is huge. And then comes the flood. Because God said, I will not endlessly strive with man in his wickedness. Man left to himself will perform every imaginable kind of evil. And that's what the Bible says happened there in the book of Genesis. And God decided to drown everyone except Noah. And Noah and his family is there in the ark, and that ark really becomes already a picture of redemption. The scripture says in Genesis 6:14 that when Noah built the ark, he had pitch put on it. Pitch is tar. And what he did is he tarred all of the boards so that it wouldn't leak. And the word pitch in Hebrew has the very same root. It means to cover. It has the very same root as the word atonement. Because you see, it is the pitch that prevented the judgment of God, namely the water, from coming into the ark and drowning them as well. And it is the atonement that God is going to provide that is going to keep us from his judgment so that we will not fall into condemnation, but can be reconciled to a holy God. And so you have the flood. After that, as you look in the book of Genesis, and now we're in chapter 12, you have the call of Abraham. Abraham is in Ur of the Chaldees, and being in Ur, he comes to the land that we call the land of Israel. This land is going to be the one that is going to be the place where the whole drama of redemption is going to be acted out. It's the most important piece of real estate in the whole world, and still is, because here eventually the Redeemer is going to be born and salvation is going to come. Now God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And he says also, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the seed of the woman is now being clarified that it's going to come through the lineage of Abraham by God's sovereign choice. So you have Abraham, and he's in the land. You have Abraham, you have Isaac, and then you have Jacob. And Jacob has a number of sons, and one of them, by the name of Joseph, goes into the land of Egypt. And eventually, as Joseph goes into the land of Egypt, and I assume you know the story, Joseph now becomes the means that God will use to get the whole family of Jacob into the land of Egypt. And there, over a period of 400 years, they will become a nation. And they are going to experience hardship, and the Pharaoh is going to work against them. But God is developing them, and God is leading them. So that leads us now to the end of the book of Genesis. Exodus is the next book. In Exodus, God raises up a deliverer by the name of Moses. And Moses comes, and in the book of Exodus, there are two marvelous examples of redemption that God has. The first example of redemption is, of course, the Passover. As they come out of Egypt, the Passover is going to become now the type of God's spiritual deliverance. And so they leave Egypt and they come into the promised land, though it takes them a while to get there. And that Passover is going to become critical in the life of the nation. And centuries later, Jesus is going to have the Passover with the disciples. And then he'll invest it with new meaning and say, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This drink in remembrance of me. And he will take the symbolism of the Passover and he will explain it in a new way because he is the fulfillment of it. And then, in addition to the Passover, you have the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, during the day, they were led by a cloud. At night, they were led by a pillar of fire. And as you see, what happens is all of the tents were around this tabernacle, explained in the book of Exodus. And the tabernacle had in it the ark, because God was going to be localized in the ark. And if you get hung up in the book of Exodus, then it's important for you to realize that God is saying, number one, sin is serious and you can't handle it. But sin is serious, I will provide the way by which you can access me. People say, well, you know, I don't like this idea that there's only one way to God. I'm sorry, but God has not consulted with you as to what your view is. All that we can do is to say that this is the way in which God worked it out. And thankfully, Jesus becomes the fulfillment of the whole thing. And so we have the book of Exodus. Now we get to the famous book of Leviticus, the place where people diligently read and then they come across offerings and sacrifices and priestly requirements and hygiene ideas and commands. And they come to a certain kind of cloth, you know, don't mix different fabrics together. And they're saying, what is this? So I'm going to help you with Leviticus right now. First of all, always remember, never open the Bible to read it unless you have, first of all, prayed Psalm 119, verse 18. Always pray that. Before you open the Bible, you pray it. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And there's no time when you need that more than when you enter the book of Leviticus. Now, I need to tell you that it is okay for you to speed read some sections in the Bible. Now, for years, I was bound. I was thinking, well, you know, this is God's word. I have to read every chapter and every line. When you get to books like the book of Leviticus, it is okay to read it quickly and get the gist of it without pausing to try to understand it all. I have seen Washington, D.C. on the ground. My wife and I have been there, and we looked at the different buildings as we walked through most of Washington, D.C. But I've also seen Washington, D.C. from an airplane. And when you see it from an airplane, it is not disrespectful to say, I'm not stopping to look at all of the buildings. I'm not trying to figure out all of the things and the symbolism of what the buildings mean. I'm just getting the general plan. And when you come to the book of Leviticus, what you want is the general plan. And you say that there were sacrifices and there were requirements and so forth. Always remember the bottom line. The bottom line is this: God is giving rituals in Exodus and Leviticus. He is giving rituals that enable him to dwell with his people without being contaminated with their sin and without compromising his holiness and justice. That's the whole point. And then when you read it, thank God for Jesus, because he fulfills it all. And that's why we no longer practice these rituals. These were intended to be a picture of the real thing. You know, there's a big difference between having a picture of someone and then the real person showing up on the stage. God says in the Old Testament, I'm going to show you how holy I am. The word holiness occurs 87 times in Leviticus. The word sin occurs even more times than that. You have to understand that I am holy and you're sinful, and I'm giving you a way by which you and I can exist together without me being contaminated by your sin or compromising my holiness. And that's the way you need to do it. Now, I wish I had all of you slow readers in a room for 10 minutes. If I had all the slow readers in a room for 10 minutes, I could help you. But you know what? I'm going to take out 2 or 3 minutes to just help you. If you're a slow reader. Listen, if you're a slow reader, you know what that means? You read one sentence and then you have to read it again because you forget what you just read. Isn't that true of slow readers? I'm going to deliver you from that right now. I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes, no extra offering taken, it's all free today. Here it is. If you're a slow reader, oh, I'm glad that 35 years ago somebody explained this to me. What you do is you take a book, not the Bible, but another book. Maybe you want to use one that I've written and speed read it, okay? All right, now, here's what you do is you read very quickly, and you don't read line by line. You zigzag all the way through, grasping as many ideas as you can. What you're after is ideas. You turn the page. Maybe you're reading 100 words a minute. Now you're reading 500 words a minute, and you just keep reading 500 words a minute, page after page. Get the main idea and read. Now, you do that for 10 or 15 minutes a day for 3 weeks. Then, if you were reading 100 and now you're reading 500, what you do is you go back to 250 words a minute, which is more than double of what you were doing. And you'll find out that you are picking up all the ideas. Your eyes can handle it. Your mind can handle it. And you'll have doubled your reading speed just that fast. You can do it in 3 weeks. Break the habit of being a slow reader and understand that there are some passages in the Bible that you can scan and get the main gist of it. Also, when you get to the prophets, sometimes chapter after chapter, they're hammering against idolatry. But keep reading. All right, so much now for the book of Leviticus. It is a manual for the priests. That's what it was. And notice, according to your chart, Leviticus does not advance the Bible storyline. Why? It supports it.
Well, this is Pastor Luther. Perhaps it's the first time in your whole life that you heard a pastor suggest that people should read parts of the Bible quickly. But the fact is that even though all of the Bible is edifying, there are times when we need to move quickly, particularly if you want to read through the entire Bible in a year. And it's not wrong to read a passage quickly as long as we also realize that in other parts of the Scripture we are slowing down and we are digesting what we are reading. All that because I want to encourage you to be in the Word, learning to grasp ideas and to read more quickly. My friend, let me share my heart with you. It is because of people like you that Running to Win can go around the world sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're looking for more endurance partners to run this race. Go to moodymedia.org and click on Endurance Partners, and you will find out how you can help many people make it across the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series on the drama of redemption, beginning in the Old Testament. Next time, we'll pick up right here in the 5 books of Moses, so plan to join us. The Drama of Redemption can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.